attendance. Without going into a lot of detail, I will quickly map out the beginnings of the Beacon community and offer a few examples of how Beacon has changed lives. In January of 1970, a group of Unitarians met in Westminster for the first time. This was not the community that is now known as Beacon, but it was its first seeds. Unitarians in Westminster were led by the Reverend Mac Elrod. Mac was deeply involved in offering support for people who were escaping the United States into Canada to avoid being part of the Vietnam War. Beacon itself was started by a student minister, Reverend Jane Bramadat, who is now retired, living in Victoria. But at the time, she was interning, 1982, at the Vancouver Unitarian Church. So she set the groundwork, and then along came the first official minister, the Reverend Robert Latham. Over the 35 years since the membership was officially signed, there have been many examples of how lives were changed through community. It's unfortunate I don't yet have pictures for every single one, but here are a few. You'll recognize some people that you think you might know here. So this one is a picture of some Unitarians who went to Hungary for part of our partner church program. I believe three times groups from this community went there. Unitarians began in a country called Transylvania, which no longer exists, but 500 years ago, that was the seeds of where we are today. Here at home, ongoing support was organized for our partner church. There were collections taken, eyeglasses, over-the-counter medications, and school supplies for children that were mailed out to them regularly. The Lunch Bunch is the longest-running Beacon group, meeting every Thursday for lunch and stimulating conversation. And of course, Sassamat Family Camp in its heyday and is still going strong. Recently, Beacon has worked to bring the Al-Rabai family here to Canada under the Refugee Settlement Initiative and is currently awaiting word of the next family's arrival. Beacon also made a commitment to truth, healing, and reconciliation, first by educating ourselves about the history of Canadian colonialism, and as we do our learning, we hope to become reconcilable with the Indigenous people of this land. Beacon also supports the Como Lake Food Bank, and each year a local organization is chosen for the Sharing the Faith program, in which we learn about the organizations in the area doing good work to change lives, and Beacon collects money throughout the year to support the Sharing the Plate program. But looking through all the pictures from all the photo albums, and a great thank you to Jane Shoemaker, one thing that came up over and over again was how much fun this community has. There was an awful lot of people laughing. There's nothing like a smile to transform a life. I now invite Donna Hamilton to speak.
So, way back in 1986, when Beacon was only 3 years old, Expo 86 happened, and the world was on its way to Vancouver. Several Beaconites, no doubt at a potluck, idly wondered if there was any way that we could become part of this, and not to be too crass, could share in some of the profits. The idea of hosting Unitarians in our homes came up, we think originally from John Poley, husband of our beloved songstress Joyce. One of our members, Rolf Dromer, was very eager as he was one of the first to have a personal computer and to know how to make and use a database. So John and Rolf set out to make it happen. Many meetings. We advertised in district and national Unitarian and Unitarian Universalist publications, both Canadian and American. John had access to a button-making machine, you know, the ones that do that, and made us all buttons with our slogan, and I just wish I had a sample to show you. I don't know if anybody remembers what the slogan was. Come sleep with us. I hadn't remembered that. John told me that. One of our founding members, Ralph Greer, and his wife, Ethel, were one of our main host families. They had a lovely basement suite. Many of the rest of us hosted. David and I were hosts too, but I sure don't remember how we did it with our three-bedroom house and all of those bedrooms already occupied. But I certainly do remember really enjoying meeting all these Unitarians and having stimulating chats over breakfast before they went off for a day at Expo. One man really enjoyed picking our generous raspberry bushes every morning before breakfast. He said that was even better than Expo. It was certainly wonderful to discover Unitarians out there in the wider world. We later met some of the same people at the Unitarian family camp that we went to at Seabeck, Washington. I can tell you more about that at another time. I don't know how many people Beacon hosted, but I can tell you that in total, the church took in about $26,000, which was a lot of money in 1986. And that was used to start our building fund. That's also a subject for another time. Those were early days at Beacon. It was all still pretty new. And at the time, I didn't realize how Beacon would change my life as the years went on. Our whole family became immersed in Beacon life and gradually spent all the years since with Beacon and Unitarianism as our main focus, which is amazing as I was raised totally anti-church. I started out timidly with very little self-confidence. I remember my son asking me after seeing people up at the front like this, "Mom, do you think you'll ever be up there like that?" "No way," says I. In the 30 plus years since then, I've been involved with almost every committee, chaired some of them, been on the board 3 times, taken part in numerous worship services, been part of the choir and the Good Times Band. I even ran the church office for a couple of years in the late 80s. And I've been nurtured and supported in my artistic ventures as well, which has given us the Beacon logo that you see up there. And those ventures took me to visit all over the US and Canada to Unitarian conferences. David was an integral part of Beacon's Strong Music program, as well as being an invaluable member of many communities. And I'm proud of the adults our children have become, with many thanks to the RE and youth programs here at Beacon, as well as their experiences with the wider world of Unitarianism throughout Canada and the US. You could say that my experiences at Beacon helped shape who I am today. I prefer to say that my experiences over the years at Beacon have helped me discover who I really am. And one way or another, all my life changes and major decisions were a result of things I learned at Beacon or at the Unitarian family camps we attended over the years. Certainly, finding Beacon was magical for me. Until then, I had never found a group where I could truly be myself.
I now invite Kathy Burpee to tell us another aspect of how Beacon changes lives.
Good morning. I'm going to speak about 4 times that I was part of a Beacon uprising. Uprising in the sense that we stood together in one place. What would you like? Is it it's on? Good morning. I apologize, I do have a cold. I am going to speak of four times that I was part of a Beacon uprising. Uprising in the sense that we stood together in one place, in one name, with one goal in our sights. Our social justice focus in those days was the Tri-Cities, as Beacon's home was at Plaza Millardville in Coquitlam, and later the Gathering Place in Port Coquitlam. During this period, Beacon members stood up to be counted at three separate public hearings for the rezoning of properties to accommodate social housing, stood up to be counted in the face of some mean-spirited, hostile opposition. The first, in 2007, was to accommodate a nightly shelter program in Coquitlam. This shelter program provided sleeping mats and warm meals for up to 30 homeless men and women for the winter months for 8 consecutive years until a permanent shelter facility could be built. This program was very successful in helping some of these persons to leave the street permanently. In 2008, a public hearing was held to create zoning for a YWCA housing project for low-income single women and their children. Who could fear or protest the Y offering housing to women and children? Well, we can identify a neighborhood which thought their lives and properties were at risk. Again, Beacon members stood tall. And then the big one, 2010. The public hearing to create the zoning for the permanent shelter that is now open in Coquitlam. Today, this shelter houses 30 men and women in shelter rooms and additional 30 individuals in independent suites. This is a low-barrier shelter that offers residents the services to help them regain health and move from rough living into permanent housing. But Beacon's social conscience has been much more than just one-night stands. In 2004, Beacon partnered with Coma Lake United Church and Share Family and Community Services to open a food bank depot. This partnership began as a conversation at a multi-faith meeting discussing child poverty in the Tri-Cities. The social responsibility chair from Como Lake United mentioned to me that her church had been asked to become a depot for the Share Food Bank. She said they would need to turn down the request. They had the space, but were lacking the number of volunteers that would be required. I asked, "Do you want to share the job?" And since then, Beacon and Como Lake have alternated in offering weekly food bank service. Over the years and continuing today, Anita, Berald, David, Ralph, Sally, Jane, Sandy, John, Dennis, Ivy, Nancy, Laura, Al, Kim, and Nikki, and many, many more have distributed food to individuals, families, seniors, refugees, new immigrants, and youth. All given food, welcome and acceptance, connections with further services, and even the opportunity to join the volunteers and use their own talents in giving back. No doubt lives have been changed over the many years since I first rose up with Beacon. People have been housed and people have been fed. For me, there are many highlights. Like the morning, the breakfast crew of the overnight shelter program was brought to tears when a young homeless man stopped to play Rachmaninoff on the church piano before heading back out into the cold. Like seeing the young, friendless refugee woman who struggled to quiet her newborn while waiting in line at the food bank gain help, acceptance, and even English lessons from her neighbors as they all waited together. And the wonderful, wonderful youth we met and worked with from the Coquitlam Basic Education Program. But I'm here to tell you that we, the service providers, were also changed. We gave ourselves opportunities that were transformative. We were able to provide frontline service, direct, face-to-face, human-to-human. We spoke and shared stories with those rarely in our daily paths, those too often marginalized. We built caring relationships and friendships. We celebrated births, deaths, new jobs, and even the finding of dry shoes in new ways. We grew to understand the harshness of the new lives chosen by immigrants and forced upon refugees. We, as volunteers, developed a sense of camaraderie, a sense of satisfaction in being useful, in being part of a Beacon team, and in knowing that we were, in these instances, in these moments, walking our talk.
We're going to sing just the first verse, 168. One more step. Thank you.